Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks on Saturday, August 25th, 2012. This is episode 903. Enjoy. Well, hey, 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 a good day to you. Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. And it's time to talk about technology, computers, and the internet, yes. Although lately these days is a lot more about mobile computing. That's where computing's going, isn't it? Tablets and cell phones. We certainly talk about home theater. Our home theater guru, Scott Wilkinson, has the day off. It's his birthday this week. So he's in Palm Springs, enjoying the weather, I hope. But we can also talk home theater. I have a little background in that, too. Anything with a chip in it, I'll be glad to talk about. 8888-ASK-LEO is the number. And, of course, the big story, and I'd love to hear your reaction to this, is the verdict is in on Apple versus Samsung. Kind of a surprise. The jury only deliberated 3 days. They had a huge amount of things to decide. I mean, this was not insignificant. Weeks of trial. 109-page instruction from the judge, 109 pages, and a 20-page verdict form, and that the jury, boom, came back very fast. In fact, took us off guard, took everybody off guard. I was thinking, maybe later this week. Maybe. Nope, jury came in and ruled in almost every respect, Samsung copied Apple. A sweeping win for Apple, and awarded more than $1 billion in damages. Now, remember, Samsung's got plenty of bucks. They can afford this. In fact, they have $21 billion in cash. So it's not going to put Samsung out of business by any means. But I guess the question is it going to change the way Samsung and others make their cell phones? Now, the case was on several patents. Some of the patents were process patents on things like tap to zoom. You know how when you open your browser in almost any phone, by the way, if you double tap a paragraph of text that's too small to read, it'll zoom in on that paragraph of text. Apple has a patent on that. The jury ruled that Samsung copied them there. They ruled that Samsung copied them on other patents. They ruled also on something called trade dress. They said that Samsung copied Apple's iPhone's home screen, the front of the phone, and they most importantly ruled that Samsung did it knowingly and willingly. It was intentional copying, presumably with the intent of confusing consumers. I don't know. Are you confused? Were you confused if you look at a Samsung phone? By the way, the phones, there were 17 to 24 different devices in each of these counts, and there were 33 counts. And so the jury had to go through phone by phone and say, yes, the Samsung Captivate violated it. Yes, the Samsung Fascinate violated it. Yes, the Samsung Galaxy S violated it, the Galaxy S2. Those were the phones. They were not ruling on more recent Samsung phones like the Galaxy Note or the Galaxy S3. The judge said, you've got to narrow it down, Apple. And while initially, in the initial complaint, these were included, Apple eliminated these more recent phones and went after the older stuff. They also went after the tablets, the Galaxy Tab 10.1, an older tablet, not the new Galaxy Note 10, which just came out. Then, interestingly, the jury did not rule in Apple's favor when it comes to the tablets. It was really a ruling that in most cases, but not all, Samsung's phones copied Apple's phones. Samsung's technologies violated Apple's patents. And they awarded $1 billion. Plus, now, the court could increase that. The Patent Act says that the court may increase the damages if the jury finds that the infringement was willful, that Samsung did this intentionally. And the jury did find that. The court can triple the damages if they choose. So the judge, Lucy Koh, could actually, Apple could go to her and say, Your Honor, we want $3 billion. And she could do it. It's up to her. She could also, I don't think it's going to happen. In fact, I would say that throughout the case, she's pretty much shown that she's been fairly balanced, but if anything, in more toward Apple than to Samsung. But Samsung could go to her and say, hey, this was not rational. So the judge could overrule the jury's findings. Now, the real question is, can Apple stop Samsung from selling these devices in the U.S.? Not all of them are still on the market, but those are on the that are on the market, Apple plans to go to court next month to ask the judge to ban them. So it will also give, and I'm sure Apple will be back in court going after their more recent phones like the Galaxy Note, the Note 2, which comes out this week, the Samsung Galaxy S3, and say, yeah, we want to stop that one. So judge could, at this point, block newer stuff as well as the older stuff. There will be an appeal, almost certainly. I can't imagine that Samsung will just take this lying down and say, no problem, Tim. Here's a check for $1 billion. See ya. They can go to the judge and ask her to overturn it. They can go to a higher court and appeal. They can also nitpick. They can try to get the judgment overturned for technical reasons, but the judge probably is not going to go for that. The appeal will have to go then to Federal Circuit Court in Washington, D.C. Of course, there were 9 jurors, and the first thing the press did is try to find these jurors and talk to them. It's public record. A number of the jurors had technical expertise. I thought that was interesting. They were not a jury of inexpert people. Some of them were software engineers. One guy, the foreman, the jury elected him in charge, worked in the computer hard drive industry for 35 years and had spent 7 years working on his own patent on video compression software. So he was knowledgeable not only about technology, but about the patent law. The big surprise was how quickly the jury came back. This was a complicated case. They got it on Wednesday. They came back on Friday and said, Samsung infringed. They knowingly did it. And for the most part, their stuff is copied. And I can't disagree with that. I mean, I think that is there are several reasonable decisions here. But I think that is not an unreasonable decision given what they saw. Judge did keep some things from them that perhaps might have changed their mind. The jury apparently said that mostly had to do with damning emails sent by Samsung executives, including probably the most damning email in which a Samsung executive, having seen the iPhone, said, "This is going to kill us quick. Let's copy it." I'm paraphrasing. But that probably had something to do with him going, I think maybe Samsung did do this on purpose. The real question is, what does this do to the phone industry? This changes, I think, things. And that was Samsung's response. This is a bad day, Samsung said, a black day for innovation. I'll read you Samsung's sort of response. Today's verdict should not be viewed as a win for Apple, but as a loss for the American consumer. It will lead to fewer choices, less innovation, and potentially higher prices. I don't think that's incorrect. I think that's true. Apple said the mountain of evidence presented during the trial showed that Samsung's copying went far deeper than even we knew. The lawsuits between Apple and Samsung were about much more than patents or money. They were about values. At Apple, we value originality, innovation, and pour our lives into making the best products on earth. Blah, blah, blah. We make these products to delight our customers, not for our competitors to flagrantly copy. And I can't disagree with that. I think Samsung did flagrantly copy. Both sides had something to say here. I think, though, the consumer might be the loser. Certainly, people are going to be very careful about making anything like an iPhone ever again. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Samsung innovates all the time, though. I mean, this is the point. It's not a mix. It's a mixed bag. Samsung said, it's unfortunate that patent law can be manipulated to give one company a monopoly over rectangles with rounded corners or technology that is being improved every day by Samsung and other companies. And that is true. I think both sides had some merit here. It's very hard for me to say that Samsung didn't copy Apple. But you know what? Every smartphone that came out after the iPhone was heavily influenced by the iPhone. That's how things work, right? We don't think Windows was heavily influenced by Macintosh? It was. And Apple sued Microsoft, by the way. You don't think that... Now, here's the question. Isn't the iPhone heavily influenced by Android phone? Look at iOS 5 and its drop-down notifications. That's a direct copy of Android. Direct. So it's one thing to say, hey, we care about customer delight and we innovate, and they copied us. But you can't really say... Hey, we never do that. They do. And by the way, Google and Motorola are suing Apple. They filed that lawsuit late last week over copying. And I can see a jury looking at the specifics that this lawsuit, this Motorola lawsuit has, and say, yeah, it was a copy. Apple didn't invent, as you point out, Ice Wolf, California, the graphic user interface, windowing, or the mouse. It was invented first at Xerox PARC and the Stanford Research Institute. Now, Apple did license those, remember? So it wasn't that Apple just stole them outright. They actually bought a license. But Xerox was very nervous about showing this to Steve Jobs. They knew Steve would say, hey, that's cool, let's do it. Apple wasn't given the Xerox patents. They were licensed. And they actually gave Xerox quite a bit for it. And it is different. It is different. Apple did not license drop-down notifications from Android. So it's very complicated. And I am not going to say that the jury made a mistake. I don't believe they did, in fact. But I do think it's also bad for consumers. How about that? That the choice and product and the copying of products and product. Look, if what Apple did with the iPhone or the iPad, if it meant that nobody could ever make anything that looked like an iPhone or iPad, we would be the poorer for it, right? I carry a Samsung Galaxy S3. I think it's better than the iPhone, but much of it is like the iPhone. I'm glad that Samsung took it and improved on it. So it's complicated. I don't think very little was taken from Android, Karen. I think there's quite a bit. For instance, Apple and iOS 5 added the ability that if you reject a call to send a message saying, hey, I can't talk right now, direct ripoff from Android. There's quite a bit, actually. But this is the technology industry, and I think that's the way it should be. Windows was influenced by Mac. I think Windows wouldn't be as good if they hadn't seen the Macintosh. Windows probably wouldn't have existed if the Macintosh hadn't been created. I think the jury did the right thing, to be honest. But I don't know if it's the best thing for us. In other words, I think both Apple and Samsung statements are accurate. Isn't that funny that could be? We're going to get to the phones here.
This land is your land, and this land is my land. From the California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. And you know, in a way, you could say this is the success of the court system, the rule of law, and that's a good thing. You want to live in a country where there's a rule of law, and I think that this trial went exactly as it's supposed to. And I'm not so quick to declare victory for Apple on the one hand, because, yes, Apple won, but I don't know if it's a victory for all of us. And I think Samsung's not down and out. By the way, Motorola and Google are suing Apple over many of the same things as of last week. It's very complicated. One thing, though, that I think is clear is that the idea of software patents is kind of bad for us in general. It's not a good thing. That's really where this all comes down to. And I think patent reform law is really long overdue. Billions, it's estimated more than $20 billion last year, wasted on these kinds of software patent disputes when they could have been put into innovation. You have to protect innovators. I don't deny that. I think that's a good thing. You want to protect innovators. If somebody invents something, the intermittent windshield wiper, for instance, they should have the right to reap the benefits. The whole point of the patent system is, in fact, that a creator gets exclusive rights for a limited time to a patent, but in return for that, reveals the process to the world so that after that limited time period runs out, that time period has changed over the years, the rest of the world, the patent expires, and the rest of the world then has the benefit of this innovation. It's quite a clever idea. And it made a lot of sense when you were in the land of steam engines and cotton gins, because that's what patents were really about, is physical inventions. In fact, used to be you'd bring a model to the patent office and say, here's how it works. You were patenting a process, a unique innovation. Software patents are much, much more tricky. Trickier to prove that you were the first to do it. And I think perhaps the idea, and this is a very recent idea, that you could patent something that is intangible really has a problem. It's very interesting. You know, and I think that we have to recognize that innovation, nobody innovates in a vacuum. Innovation, which we all want, and choice, which we all want, requires a balancing act between rewarding the innovator and making the innovator part of our common knowledge so that we can all go forward. You really don't want somebody to own the rights to toilet paper or light bulbs, right? You want, ultimately, you want that patent to expire so that everybody can make light bulbs and that there's price competition and there's innovation and all of that. 8888 Ask Leo. I'd love to know your opinion. Apple versus Samsung. Who won here? Who lost? But let's go to the phones. Christian's in Anaheim. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Christian.
Hello.
Welcome.
And the problem I was having is when I receive a text message, it will stop. The internet will stop like for 30 seconds and you click again. I don't like that.
Let me guess. Is your carrier Verizon?
No, Virgin Mobile.
Virgin. That's on the Sprint network. Same thing. It's a CDMA network. You can't do phone and data simultaneously. AT&T and T-Mobile, which are GSM networks, these are two different technologies, you can. So, in fact, when Verizon started selling the iPhone, one of the things AT&T said in their ads is, well, okay, but you can't surf the net while you're on the phone. That's right. You can't combine data and voice. And oddly enough, text messaging comes over the voice channel. It's not a data channel. So if you're using, you know, the internet in some way and you get a text message, the internet's going to pause. Now, good news. All of that's changing because Verizon and Sprint and everybody else are moving to LTE. LTE will allow you to do voice and data simultaneously. So as you get LTE in your market and you get an LTE phone, this is going to go away. This is kind of old-fashioned, the idea that you couldn't do voice and data at the same time. All of this is changing now. So, you know, good news, Christian. You should be getting on your Sprint phone. You should be getting LTE very soon, and it shouldn't be an issue. And by the way, the new iPhone, we're going to see this sometime in the next few weeks. September 12th, we believe. It's not confirmed, but we believe Apple announced the new iPhone and release it 9 days later, September 21st. And again, no one knows because Apple doesn't say, but it's probable, very highly probable, that the new iPhone will also be LTE compatible on all the carriers. That makes a big difference. Makes a huge difference. Rick in Long Beach, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo.
Hey,
before
Rick.
Before I get into my politics on Apple winning, by the way, they stole everything they ever had, and I'm upset with the verdict. But here's my compliment to you. I remember you always said, always back up with an offside backup.
Yes.
Yeah, and let me tell you the disaster I had. First of all, one time I was listening to your show, and I had an extra hard drive, and I went ahead and backed up my laptop. And I'm the guy that rolled over from a Windows 95 desktop, and it was archaic, and I rolled over to a laptop in the last year. So I spent a whole year organizing. And one day, about 6 months ago, I was listening to your show, and I was in my office, and I backed up, but I forgot about it. So I'm with my laptop with my portable hard drive. My portable hard drive that I hook in. There's all my infos on that, and everything went overboard.
Oh, wait a minute, overboard like in the water?
Yeah, I was sailing. I was sailing and I had my...
That's usually not good.
Yeah, I left it up front. I went down below. I forgot. Oh, it was making some motions. And I lost the laptop and I lost my hard drive. And I haven't been backing up on Carbonite because I don't know how to do this now that I'm not hardwired.
Right. And then
I was in my office beating my head against the wall. I was trying to give myself a concussion. And then I looked at this hard drive that 6 months ago I forgot I backed up. So I've already gotten another laptop.
Good.
Put all my programs back in and just plugged in my extra backup that I forgot all about that was offsite and I didn't miss a beat.
Hallelujah! Now let me. Is the laptop on? Is it on the bottom of the ocean?
Well, it's probably somewhere between Catalina and Marina del Rey.
It sleeps with the fishes, as they say. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's a good point. I mean, it's a terrible thing to lose a laptop, but even far worse to lose your data. So I'm really glad you had a backup.
Oh, it was magnificent.
Oh, hallelujah.
I've got a couple questions for you, if you don't mind me asking.
Yeah, go right ahead.
First, I want to say this Samsung ruling, I mean, Apple, how can you own, it's like me coming out with a car and saying, wait a second, I got a patent on wheels.
Well, it's not okay. That's the issue. It is exactly the issue with software patents is that many of these are obvious. So, and that was Samsung's complaint. You can't patent rounded rectangles. But
exactly.
It's more complicated than that. Hold on, Rick. We got to take a break. I'd love to talk to you a little bit more about this cuz it is complicated. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. No, you don't have to ask a question, Jay Cajon. As I often say, you can ask a question, make a comment, make a suggestion. I look like I'm in Little League because I'm preparing for the United States Little League Championship. The kids, the Little Leaguers from Tennessee, from near Nashville, I can't remember the name, is Goditville or something like that, versus our own Petaluma National Little League team. Which my son played in a few years ago. They've always been a good team, and they're playing in the U.S. Championship in about an hour. Exactly an hour. So we're very excited. It looks a little small, but just that's not that the shirt is small. It's that I'm a little fat. But otherwise, it's a perfect fit. And, you know, it's funny because it is a big deal in Petaluma. The movie theater has been showing the game in the movie theater on the big screen. And as we get closer and closer to the championship, it's been bigger and bigger. Yesterday, the police were in front, and there'd been news vans. Now they blocked the street off. I live across the street from the movie theater, so I know they blocked the street off. And there's balloons. It's a carnival atmosphere. And Jennifer bought 15 tickets for herself, my son, and all my son's friends. And so it is going to be wild. The theater's charging $5. I don't know how they're doing this with ABC. They've made some deal to show it. But it is really, really exciting. Really, really fun. And the boy, they got all the news. I'm sure they're paying for rights because ABC's got a truck out front. The Channel 7 here has a truck out front with all the local news. This is huge for Petaluma. There will be a ticker tape parade if these kids. Well, no matter what, there will be because they've gotten all the way to the U.S. Championship. They've been one game from elimination for the last three games, so it's very exciting. They won the last one, 11-1. There's a rule. There's a so-called mercy rule in Little League. I feel bad for the kids from, I think it was Fairfield, Connecticut, or was it Atlanta? It was Atlanta. Because there's a mercy rule. You know, they normally play six innings, but if you get 10 runs ahead after 2.5 innings at any point, the game's over. They're not going to let you beat anybody by more than 10 runs. So it was exciting. There was a grand slam home run to kick things off, and 11-1 they won. And the game before that, it was 5-0. So they're kind of hot. They're kind of on a roll. And then it's Japan versus Panama for the international title. And then the winner of that plays the winner of the U.S. championship for the world championship. So they play the international and then they play the U.S., which is good because the international team is pretty good. I'm scared of them. So very exciting. Yeah, you can't have 70-40 exactly. But, you know, these kids, they're actually very good. They're playing very, very well, given that they're 12 years old. I don't. My kids are too old to know anybody, but Lisa's nephew, Mario, is their age and knows most of the team. So. Pardon me? They lost to the same team, Tennessee, early on in the second game. So this is a grudge match, yeah. Tennessee's good. But we're kind of peaking, you know. We're kind of getting hot right now, so it's pretty exciting. The consolation game is going on right now. We're not in that. We got all the way to the U.S. Championship, so you can watch this on ABC. It's already on, but our game is after this game. This is Japan. Oh no, this is the international game. Oh, Japan's clobbering Panama. Yeah, the Japanese teams are good. We dedicate that song to Rick in Long Beach, whose data is sitting somewhere between here and Catalina.
All my secrets. You know, I have secrets to save the world that are sitting on that hard drive.
I think you're safe because that's probably by now the seawater's probably made it impossible to recover. So, you know, it is. I think there are some people who are very angry at Apple. On the other hand, remember, Apple is a public company, and they have a fiduciary responsibility to their stockholders to protect their inventions. So, and they have lawyers on retainer, quite a few. I think they have their own building. So it would be, in some ways, it would be a breach of their duty not to protect their innovations.
How is that protecting an innovation? They didn't really invent anything. What they did is they used a technology that we now have that now no one else can use.
Well, and that's my point, I guess, is that there's two ways to judge this. If you're an Apple shareholder, which of course I'm not, but you're going to cheer for this because Apple did, in fact, invent things like one of the patents was when you're in a browser, you tap a paragraph, double tap it, and it zooms to exactly the right size of that paragraph. It's very elegant. They were the first to do that. Apple was copied by Samsung. At least the jury ruled Apple was copied by Samsung. So in that respect, Apple is doing what they're supposed to do. They're protecting their interests. Now, is it in the interest of consumers? There we have a different discussion. But that wasn't what the jury was asked. But I do believe that it's in the interest of consumers that these kinds of software patents not be protected. Because I think we all benefit when inventions like that are immediately... You know, the problem is... What does patent law go for? 17 years? I can't remember what it is, the length of a patent. By the time, you know, 17 years in software is an eternity. It's one thing to say intermittent windshield wipers 17 years. That's fine. By the way, the guy sued. Remember, he sued Ford saying, hey, I invented that and won. And it took him decades to win that case. And he deserved to win that case, I think. So it's complicated. I know what you're saying, and I think that if you use, as I do, Android phones, I want to see all those features in an Android phone. It's good for me.
Is Samsung going to recall any of the phones that are out there?
Samsung says that, and I think what you'll start seeing is updates. It's going to be difficult for them. I don't know if this reaches back retroactively. They have to pay the fine one way or the other. So if you already own a phone, I don't think you'll see a change. But on the other hand, newer phones, what I think you'll see is Samsung will modify the user interface to comply. Or they may go, Samsung may go to Apple and say, well, okay, you win. How much do you want for the license fee? Because Apple did say we'd license it.
Ah, interesting. That I didn't know.
Yeah, and so, but what Apple, I think, wanted was $30 a phone, which is an awful lot of money. By the way, Samsung doesn't pay that. You know who pays $30 the phone? Us.
You do.
Comes out of our pocket.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So, you know, it is complicated. You could say Apple's reaching a hand into our pockets because Samsung's just passed the cost of licensing along. It turns out, we learned so much in this case, for instance, that Apple and Microsoft had made a deal that they cross-licensed patents and agreed not to copy features from each other's phones, which may explain why Windows Phone doesn't look too much like an iPhone.
Interesting.
It's complicated, Rick. I understand your frustration, and I share it. Because I think for consumers, we want these features in all our phones. Rounded rectangles, come on. You know, one of the things Apple was complaining about is that the phone icon on Android phones is green with a phone handset on it. Well, come on. That's you're saying nobody can – we have to do something else? That an icon can't have a phone handset? Apple didn't invent the phone handset. That was invented by Western Electric about 100 years ago. So why – how could – that makes sense on an icon.
See, I believe that they were losing the market share to Samsung because they're doing well, and it was a win-win for them. Even if they didn't ultimately win, they would probably force Samsung in the future to deal with
it. Sam, you're exactly right. Samsung is the number two phone manufacturer in the world after Apple. Most of Apple's profits are from the iPhone. In fact, I think it was 2 years ago or last year, Apple for the first time made more money than Microsoft, more profit than Microsoft on the iPhone alone. That's how valuable the iPhone is. The iPhone is a big product for Apple. So, you know, I'm sure there's also that calculus in the back of Apple's head or the executive's head that, well, this is our most important product. This is a product we have to protect. And who's the number one competitor right now? Notice they didn't go after Google. Even though it's really Android they're complaining about. They didn't go after, you know, HTC or LG. They went after the big one, Samsung. Of course, that's where the money is, isn't it? That's where the value is. Rick, I really appreciate it. Thanks for sharing your story with us. It's a morality tale for all of us. You never know when your laptop's going overboard, literally or figuratively, and you better darn well back up. You better darn well back up. Ken in Ottawa, Canada. Ken, you're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi there, Leo. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a longtime listener. I've been listening to you since Screensaver days and here in Canada, and we watched you on Rogers for a little while there.
Yep. We used to do when tech TV went away in the U.S., Rogers called me up and said, come to Toronto and do your show. And I said, well, I don't know if I want to move to Toronto. I love it. So I went up there 1 week a month. We did 15 shows in 4 days. It was exhausting, but, you know, it was fun. I did that for 4 years. It was great.
They still show them here on a regular TV now all the time.
I know. That's the funny thing is that these are a little bit dated now. There's one from, I think it's 2006, where Amber MacArthur discovers YouTube. And she's showing me for the first time, hey, there's this new site where people can upload videos. It's called YouTube. Ooh, look at this. And people are probably watching it going, are these people idiots? And they don't realize that was 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Anyway, thank you for the kind words. What can I do for you, Ken?
I'm asking about mobile phones for my 73-year-old mother, who is not very tech-savvy, and I'm wondering about cell phones for seniors. You know, anything more than three buttons confuses her.
Yes.
And I've been thinking about the iPhone.
I think that's too complicated. My mom's 80, and or will be in January. Sorry, Mom, didn't mean to advance the clock. And she is very comfortable with an iPad, has been using an iPad for ages. But it's funny, but it's a cell phone. It's like, it's too complicated. So what she got, and I do like, I don't know whether what the availability is in Canada, but I would guess that it's available in Canada, is a there's a phone for older people called the Jitterbug. And you can go, you can at least look at it by going to greatcall.com. It's got big buttons. It is not a smartphone, but it's got loud. It's got some nice features like, you know, the I've fallen and I can't get up feature, I call it. They call it the five-star urgent response. You press a button and somebody comes to you immediately.
Yeah, they have one available here in Canada called the Doro.
Okay. Have you? Yeah, it may be similar. You know, these are probably made by some Japanese or Korean company, and you know, this. If you look at the Jitterbug, my mom used this for a while. She didn't want to. She stopped. She said, "I never need a cell phone. I'm always home." So she stopped paying for it. But what we do is she kept it, and we activate it when she travels, so that I can reach her if there's an emergency when she's on the getting off the plane or whatever. She can reach me. And that's very handy. So the Doro, yeah, maybe that's the solution. I don't know what it's, what the availability of the Jitterbug is in Canada, but this is, this was a good choice, I think, for my mom. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy.
Hey, Leo.
AARP has a phone, yes.
Hey, can you do me a favor and maybe turn your mic down just a tiny bit on your end? Because I'm getting some clipping coming through pretty bad today.
Oh, that's not good. I don't hear it here.
Folks, have you heard about ESETs?
Oh, you don't hear that?
No.
Oh, interesting.
How is it now? I did turn it down a little bit.
Is now available on the Mac.
Check. Hey, are you hearing clipping on the stream?
Heuristics engine with a very nice Mac-friendly interface.
It wouldn't. There's nothing Alex should do about it, but I just want to make sure that it's... oh, yeah, wait a minute. Oh, my God, it's way clipping.
It proactively detects...
You know what? It's here. It's on the... they get to you. It's on the... is John still here? Did he leave?
He said understands education.
Hey, John, the ISDN is sending a lot of signal out. Can we lower what the ISDN's getting without just lowering it on the board? Protection.
And, of course, because it's ESET, it's protection.
I guess there's a setting here. Because when I talk, see how that's clipping? Isn't there a pad on this?
30 days, go to ESET.com/Mac and give it a free test.
Yeah, I could put a pad on it. Let me look. Yeah, we're doing level in professional, level out professional.
Stay looped in.
Input source live wire.
Here's a science fiction scenario. What if
consumer
you could take care of everything,
professional is the only choices
ship,
on that.
Without moving an inch.
I'm pretty sure there's a pad I can put on here.
No, it's actually not science fiction.
Gain trim. There you go. So it's 3 dB down now.
First century post office right at your desk. 24/7.
Check. How's this? Is that better? Check. What is that?
Sounds great.
And that's good, and it's not too low for you?
No. Okay. If it is, I can always put you up higher.
Okay. So I'm going to do 8 dB down.
Exact right postage on any letter, on any package.
And thanks, Leo.
You're welcome.
Oh, I love
it. Yeah, isn't that
weird?
Oh, wait a minute. Didn't save it. Hold on.
We like it so much we have two accounts in our office. We were fighting over the digital.
Now it's 8 dB down. You know, I did notice when I looked over here that it was peaking.
$100 bonus offer includes a digital.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows?
Up to $55 free postage.
Well, Kyle's saying it's clipping, and then he would have said that earlier. If it, yeah. So I suspect that's what that's all.
My name, Leo.
Yeah, I haven't touched the.
You know, maybe it reset when we. Who knows? Yeah, we've restarted a bunch of times, so. What about it? Seagate hard drive. It fell out? And it died because it went clonk. Yeah, that's just bad luck, Jay. Jay and Ty are in the studios. Ty's from Sacramento. Jay's from Missouri. And if you're a longtime fan, Ty, you must have been a kid when you watched Tech TV, because that... Yeah, yeah. Tech TV started in 98. Yeah. No, it would be the same. It wouldn't change there. It would be just what the ISDN lines... Right. Right.
Right.
It's what's going out of the ISDN for some reason. I don't know. Who knows? To the ISDN, yeah. Say again? That's not good.
That sounds like a hacker got it. F-A-G-F-X? That doesn't sound right. The data's there. The data's still there, and it renamed the drive? You can't see it? I would start using a different drive. I would reinstall Windows, start using a different drive. That does not sound good. Holy cow. So here's the AARP phone, if I can find it. And then the Doro is, I guess, Swedish. AT&T has a phone for seniors. So there's quite a... This is a growing market, isn't it? Here we go. The AARP is offering the Doro. That's interesting. So it sounds like the Doro is a good choice.
All right, your live reads carbon.
It'll be a chip in your head.
I've started looking gross.
All right, thanks. Yeah, well, we'll be used to it, right? Yeah.
I shouldn't say most. I've seen them in the grocery. I've seen them up close. People my age have started looking gross.
People my age. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. We were talking about phones for older people who have trouble with small buttons, small screens, low volume, and complexity. And our caller was calling from Canada, who said that in Canada they have the Doro phone. This looks good. In fact, this is also offered in the U.S., Doro, DOROUSA.US. It's a Swedish company. And the AARP offers the American Association for Retired People, of which I am a proud member, because you only have to be 50 to be a AARP member. This is the phone that they recommend. They have GSM. I presume there's also CDMA, but GSM would be easier because you just get the phone and then put a chip with a SIM chip in it. It's got a nice screen. I mean, it's not, sometimes I feel like the phones like the Jitterbug are a little out of date. But this actually looks pretty good. It's not as, not quite as primitive looking. It looks like it's like a semi-smartphone. Kind of like half smart. DOROUSA.US. But if you are a senior in the U.S., the AARP offers very affordable plans, $10 a month, using that phone. I think that's a good choice. In fact, I'm going to have to call mom. Get her one. So, Ken, thank you for asking about that. That Doro phone looks pretty good. Did you get her one?
No, we were looking at one, but we thought I thought maybe trying to get her something a little bit more substantial that has a bigger screen. And we've been looking at applications for Android, like Big Launcher, for example.
Right, right.
Which basically starts making look like a lot like the Metro interface on the Windows phones, though.
You know, Metro, by the way, is great for seniors. If you get but you need to get the big screen, something like the Lumia 900. That's the Windows phone, and I think it's a great smartphone for people who don't want the complexity of Android. Android is, the reason we geeks like Android is because it's, customizable and complex, and we can put widgets on there. We can mess around with it. It's like Windows. We can mess around with it to our heart's content. But ironically, the Windows phone is much simpler, much easier to use, and cleaner. And I actually like it in terms of intuitiveness and user interface. You might look at the AT&T offers the Lumia 900. You might look at that. And if you got a Galaxy Note, which is a 5.3-inch screen, and you put a giant launcher on there, it's not so much for me. Of course, there's the issue of legibility and so forth, but it's also usability. How complicated...
the better way to go.
Yeah. I think somebody who grew up in an era where phones had dials on them and were attached to the wall by a cord, a smartphone might... I mean, I'm thinking about myself in 20 years. Think about yourself. When you're 75 years old, let's see, for me, that's 20 years off. For you, it might be 30, 40, 50 years off. What's the world going to be like? Remember, too, that it's not a linear pace of growth. The rate of change is accelerating. So you can, pretty much say that what happens over the next 20 years will be something like what happened over the last, let's say, 40 to 50 years. So let's go back 50 years. You know, 1965. I'm sorry, 1972. I got to do my math better. 1972. What was life like? No, I'm sorry, 1962. 1962. So 20 years from now, I believe the difference between now and 2032 will be much like the difference between now and 1962. So imagine how you're going to be when you're in your 70s and you're looking at the phones. Who knows what they're going to be, implants in your brain? I don't know what they're going to be. To me, this is exciting, but I know to a lot of people it's terrifying. I like it. I want to live in the science fiction future. I can't wait. But see, I read a lot. A lot of us geeks, we read a lot of sci-fi. We're geeky. We like this stuff. We can't wait for the future to hit. Alex, Mission Viejo, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Yeah, how you doing today?
I am well. How are you?
Good. Kind of funny you talk about technology. I've been so reliant on my cell phone, I couldn't. I'm on speaker on my cordless phone. I had to dig out from a closet, which is tied into the story. So anyway, sorry about the speakerphone. All right,
actually, it sounds really good. Sometimes the older technologies work better.
Oh, okay.
Never think of that. It's not new is not always better. Digital is not always better.
That's true.
Yeah.
Probably why I'm in this pickle here. Anyway, I live in South Orange County, which is a fairly populated area. I've had AT&T as long as I've had a cell phone. I've never had another carrier. I have an iPhone 4, not the 4S. But over the past 2-3 months, my reception has been going down to the point where it's never been very strong. I've only had one or two bars in the house, outside a little bit stronger, and I've learned to live with it. But what happened a couple months ago, I started noticing that I had a notification that I had missed a call when I was at home. And I noticed that I really had to go outside of my house to place a call.
Yeah.
And it's gotten to the point now where only certain parts of my backyard, and I don't live in a big property, will get a signal. So after calling AT&T 3 times, what their solution was is to offer me something they call a microcell, which hooks up to the Internet. Initially, they said it was $199, which I wasn't very happy with. You know, if you kind of haggle with them, they drop the price down a little bit. And but it's kind of like, you know, you buy a car with a warranty, and then they, when it's time to fix it, they sell you a tow truck.
Right.
You know, does that make sense?
Yeah. These microcells, there's the actual generic term is femtocell, but these microcells are basically using your internet access to provide cell service. They turn your internet access into a cell service. The thing that galls me is they still charge you for minutes. So even though it's your bandwidth and you're selling your service, they're still charging you minutes. On the other hand, for a lot of people, it's the only way they can get their cell service in their house, and it does work. I mean, it does work. You're basically putting a little cell site in your house.
Yeah. I mean, the downside was my complaint now is that if I go out on a walk, I may or may not get service then. I mean, if I had to call 911 or something, it's really kind of a...
Yeah. Well, you could change carriers. I would ask your neighbors, what do you use and how's it working for you? Could be your phone, too. You know, I would ask your friends who have AT&T, say, can I see your phone? How many bars are you getting right now? Because I'm getting none.
Yeah, I've done that. I've only got 2 friends that have AT&T. Everybody else has Sprint, Verizon, and T-Mobile. But it was kind of interesting is that that's the solution they kept pushing repeatedly 3 times over.
Well, they don't want to lose you as a customer. The real solution is to pick the carrier that works best in your home. What's weird is that it's deteriorating, and that could be a variety of things. Maybe, and they won't tell you this, but maybe their cell site that's nearest to you failed. And so all of a sudden you're using a more distant cell site.
You know, the first call they told me there were 7 cell sites close to my house. One of them was degraded. The other one was severely degraded.
Yeah, there you go.
But on the call I had, which, you know, and to their credit, they've opened up an investigation.
Good. They may fix it. We got to run. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. And they may not. We're the phone company. We don't care. We don't have to. Mr. Vito.
Hey, Leo.
Yeah.
In 1 minute, can we, after I get through this Go to Assist commercial, can we do a mic test? Because I still had...
You're still getting clipping.
Yeah, I want to pot you up.
And now it's on your end then, because we went down 5 dB on the sound.
One simple cloud.
And I'm not getting any red in there. It could be... You know what? You could recall the ISDN. We'll do a test.
Keeping all of your users supported, no matter where they are. You can provide live or unattended support anywhere, even from your iPad. And with Go to Assist monitoring... You get customizable dashboards displaying the performance of all your networks, all your servers, all your desktops, plus proactive alerting, which allows you to fix those little issues before they become big problems. And you, well, you look like a support hero. Go to Assist. It's easy to use, sets up in minutes, and it's from Citrix, a trusted leader in IT.
Pretty exciting.
We use it here. I want you to try it for 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.com, click the Try It Free button.
I am excited. Huh? Kyle's in Sherman Oaks. Kyle's where the this phone screening is, and the board is running Sherman Oaks, which is where Premier Radio Networks is. And we have an ISDN line, a digital line, and a box that goes back to them, and that's what we're trying to troubleshoot right now. And then this is VPN down to Sherman Oaks, so this is the call screening software that's running there, and I control the calls. I can put them on hold, pick them up.
You're tuned
see
to
what
Premier
the call
Channel 7.
So this really gives me everything. It's as if they're in the other room, basically.
Minutes past the hour.
You want to try now, Kyle?
Radio Networks. Yeah, that would be great.
Leo. All right. I'll just talk normally, and I can drop it down. Let me write down, because Dr. Mom just gave me the executive problem shooting team at AT&T, 866-751-5784. She said she had a similar problem in Long Island, and by calling the executive team was able to get it fixed. So, older VPN using PPTP is a security risk right now, and I'm sure I shouldn't say this, but I'm sure it's using PPTP, because this is a vintage program. This program comes from 2002, and we're using a Cisco VPN. It might be higher. It might be SSL. But let me check. I wonder if I can... about VPN client. Cisco Systems VPN client. Copyright 2006. So...
2006?
Yeah, we got a more modern one here.
Like, raise your voice for me real
2006, quick. 2006? I might hear a little clipping. Hey, John, are you monitoring the audio? Check, check, check. 1, 2. I don't hear it in my headphones.
Now you're not. Yeah, here you're great. Like, it's weird, though. It's because even if I turn, like what I did there, I just turned the mic up really loud when you said 2006.
Yeah.
And it did not clip. But
that's
then
weird.
I'll have the mic so low, and sometimes it's usually only when you raise your voice, though. But, like, those last two breaks were really, really bad.
They were crunchy. You want to call back? Let's just try a new line.
Well, right now it sounds really good.
Yeah.
I mean, there was nothing in that test, and I was moving the mic up, down, and you didn't clip out.
I don't know. It's something weird. All right.
It's this archaic equipment over here, I guess.
Yeah. So.
All right. Thanks, Leo.
All right. Thank you, Kyle.
From Premier Radio Network.
I need a Dorophone. So I'm looking at the VPN client we're using. It's triple desk, 168-bit triple desk, so I think it's okay. It's not using PPTP. Turns out the CHAP V2 protocol that PPTP uses is a 56-bit encryption, which, of course, is far too weak in today's day and age. So this is, I don't know if it's SSL, but it's using triple desk for the encryption, so it's fine. The CHAP V2 is single desk. It's terrible. Single desk is 56K. So this is three times that, or 160. It says 168-bit triple desk. It's not saying what the protocol is, but I would guess... I would guess that it's not PPTP. So it's not using CHAP V2, and that's the CHAP V2 is the issue. And if you're interested in all this, we covered it on Security Now on Wednesday. You can listen to this week's Security Now, and you'll get all the information from that. Japan won. 10-2. There's scary. And then today, it's Goodlettsville, Tennessee versus Petaluma, California. Coming up,
this is
just half an hour
7.
From now, look at the Japanese team. They're bowing.
6 minutes past the hour. from Premier Radio Networks.
They're scary. Well, I'll be happy with the U.S. championship. I'm not going to get picky on this. Goodlitzville is... Now, apparently we beat them once in the playoffs. Is that the case? Because I know they beat us in the tournament.
You're tuned to Premier Channel 7.
Leo, so this is interesting. They've been changing signal direction in your area. The AT&T executive support. So you only call this if you're not getting any satisfaction is 866-751-5784. Right, Goodlitzville is a suburb. They've only had Little League for 3 years, I think, or 2 or 3 years. Well, you know, there's a real debate going on about whether we should include these breaks in the podcast.
From Premier Radio Network.
You know, I've had email from both sides. So I got an email from Jack who said, please pass along the Tech Guy podcast used to have a lot more dead air editing, and that is not being done anymore. We're listening to Leo talk to the chat room, talk to his dog, eat lunch, drink tea, talk to staffers, etc. It's really very unprofessional compared to the way Leo used to have the podcast edited. It also adds 20 to 30 minutes of wasted listening time to the podcast, which is making several folks want to stop listening. Please get back to the way it was. These broadcasts need to be edited, trimmed down to just the real content. But then I get email and tweets and stuff all the time from people who say, no, leave that in. We like the breaks. It gives it a more... relaxed feel. And, you know, I think it's just a matter of taste, and I understand that. My position is that the breaks often have content in them. Neil Armstrong just passed away. Oh, dear. Well, I bet you the Twitterverse will have something to say about it. Let's check. Breaking, yep. Neil Armstrong, 82, just passed away, according to NBC News. Well, we'll be able to talk about it. In fact, let me see if I can get... That's one small step for man. Thank you, Alan. Thank you.
Leo.
Yes, sir.
I have one small step if you want to come back with it here.
Actually, I have a nice little video.
Perfect.
One small step for man.
You're tuned to Premier Channel 7. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
One giant leap for mankind.
From Premier Radio.
Oh, that looks beautiful from radio. It has a stark beauty all its own. It's much of the high desert of the United States.
Why don't you play a normal intro, and I'll cue it.
Okay, sounds great. Here we go with the normal.
Neil Armstrong's first words, the first human to set foot on the moon, and word just coming in now from NBC News that Neil Armstrong, the first human to step on the moon, astronaut, passed away today at the age of 82. A really amazing human being, incredibly humble. He taught aerospace and science for many years after his walk on the moon, but he will never be forgotten. One of the great explorers in humanity's history, Neil Armstrong, dead at the age of 82.
Oh, that looks beautiful from radio. It has a stark beauty all its own. It's like much of the high desert of the United States. It's different, but it's very pretty out here.
Every precious minute of their 2.5 hours on the surface was programmed. Rock and soil
amazing.
Samples
That's
were...
That's a little documentary about the NASA... moonwalk, but amazing. And of course, I remember, and I'm sure people of my vintage remember vividly I was a kid. It was 1969. I remember getting, I was 13 years old, getting up and watching that. Just made a huge impression. And as we begin our exploration of Mars, a process which I hope and I think many believe will lead to a manned exploration or humaned exploration of the surface of Mars, the nearest planet, no one can forget that amazing story. And, you know, we were talking at the last hour about how much has changed in 50 years since 1962. But, you know, in some ways, we led the world in space exploration in the 60s, and it didn't come back to that. Which is why I do hope we end up walking onto Mars. And I know Mr. Armstrong believed that fervently. I have met and interviewed Buzz Aldrin, the second man to walk on the moon, an amazing fellow. But Neil Armstrong was very private and did not do many interviews. I never had a chance to talk to him. But always admired the man greatly. What a brave thing to do. Brave thing to do to step off that lunar module. They didn't know, you know, on the surface of the moon, they didn't know what would happen. And that leap, I remember vividly watching that very grainy, very fuzzy black and white signal back from the moon as he stepped off the ladder and made that one small step for a man and one giant step for mankind. So again, that's NBC is confirming it, but I have not seen it elsewhere. And I do hope that we're not getting this wrong, but NBC is confirming that astronaut Neil Armstrong, the first man on the moon, passed away at the age of 82. Certainly for a tech show, that is something that we have to pay a lot of attention to. And I'm sure over the next few days, there'll be quite a few specials. And if you're too young to remember that, please watch them, because it's very, very inspiring. Very inspiring. Reuters is now confirming it. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the number if you want to talk about computers, technology. You know, a lot of what what's happened in the world in technology is because of that incredible investment in science and engineering that occurred in the 60s. It was admittedly because we were in a Cold War with the Soviet Union that we wanted to be the first on the moon. It was very much about the Cold War, but we have reaped the benefits for decades ever since. And personal computers, the cell phone you're probably holding right now, the software we use, the operating systems we use, all owe a very clear, strong debt to NASA and the project to land people on the moon. So we've got a lot to thank Neil Armstrong and the other astronauts for. And I hope that we can ignite a new generation. You know, I think we've lost our way a little bit. It was Sputnik that really got America to sit up, take notice in the very early 60s, the late 50s, early 60s, and start paying attention to science and engineering and technology and math. And we made a concerted effort to beat the Ruskies. And I hope that we can regain that enthusiasm. I think we've lost a little bit of ground. And, you know, you've probably heard the word STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, and STEM education, and how important that is. And that's why I was so excited to see Curiosity land on Mars and hoping that kids would get excited about this. It is really important for all of us. Peter in New Mexico, our next caller, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Peter. Are you there? Peter.
Hello, Peter.
He says he wants to watch the NFL games on the road. I presume not while you're driving, Peter, but sure when you got downtime. And the NFL is interesting. The Super Bowl for the very first time was streamed live. You had to have a Verizon phone, unfortunately, or Verizon internet to watch it. But I think that's coming right now. You can't watch, I don't believe you can, correct me if I'm wrong, chat room, I don't think you can watch NFL games on your iPad. I think you have to have a subscription to a cable company or a satellite company, and I think that's how you have to watch. But I don't think it's too long before the NFL starts realizing how important that is. Major League Baseball has, You can watch every single Major League Baseball game on your iPad. Listen to them, too. Until that happens, I think a good choice for you would be a Slingbox. And what that is a device you hook up to your home theater system. They're, by the way, disclaimer, they're an advertiser. But I've recommended them for years. You hook it up to your home theater system, including your cable or satellite box. So if you've got a package that gives you NFL games, you can then log in wherever you have internet access. Now, I know truck stops are notoriously bad for internet access, but if you get decent internet access on an iPad or an iPhone, some Android tablets, or certainly your laptop, you can log in to your Slingbox device at home and watch whatever's on your TV, including the NFL. Or, you know, Mob Housewives of New Jersey. Whatever it is you want to watch, you can watch if you have it on your home TV system. So that's a good choice for now, Slingbox. And I suspect that, you know, the NBA's doing it, Major League Baseball's doing it. How long before the NFL starts putting their games online? They did it with the Super Bowl. It can only be a matter of time. Morris, Santa Ana, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Morris.
Hey, Leo. I just got an Android phone. I had a BlackBerry before. I had a BlackBerry Curve, and I made the transition to the Android.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. But
it is a step forward. You know, I used a BlackBerry Curve. It was the last phone I used before the iPhone came out in 2007, and I was a big BlackBerry fan for a long time. But we have made progress, and unfortunately, RIM, which makes BlackBerry, is pretty much almost out of business at this point because BlackBerry just hasn't kept up.
Pretty sad for them.
It is.
Like you said, innovation, and you just can't stay doing the same thing that you have if you want to keep up with the competition.
Right.
You have to kind of step it up.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
But that's BlackBerry. BlackBerry has their own way, and they innovated their own way with the things that had BBM, and then...
You know, BBM was one of the things that kept BlackBerry around for a very long time because if you were a BlackBerry Messenger user, you needed a BlackBerry. And if your friends, you know, if that's how you talk to your friends, that's what you had to have. And I think it's funny because even until a couple of years ago or last year, I'd go to a high school and all the kids had BlackBerries. And I'd say, why? You're high school kids. Why don't you have iPhones or Android phones? They'd say, because of BBM, because we all talk to each other over BlackBerry Messenger. But even that, it wasn't enough to keep it alive, was it?
But we'll see. Hopefully they can salvage something.
It's not too late. BlackBerry 10 is coming out next year. Anyway, we got to take a break, but hang on. I want to answer your question. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Preseason.nfl.com for the preseason games. That's great. They've got that on mobile, but they don't plan currently on putting that. See, they're testing the waters, right? They're slowly dipping their toe in the waters. NFL Preseason Live now available on your tablet. It's a free app on Android or iOS. And, of course, they tried the Super Bowl. Now, the Super Bowl, they limited it to Verizon customers. You know, it's just a matter of time. They're just testing it out. You can get Major League Baseball on your tablet and your iPhone. I think it's just a matter of time. All right, I'm going to eat. So I am going, because I know how much you hate that, I'm going to mute my microphone, let you listen to the fine music, and I'll be back in a few minutes.
Not a problem.
Yeah, it gets me excited. I hear this music. I think, the game's starting. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Thanks to the chat room. It looks like there are ways to watch the NFL in, at least now, the preseason. The NFL, see, this is a good sign. It means the NFL is thinking about streaming their games. If you go to preseason.nfl.com, you'll see that they are offering streaming for free. Streaming football games of the preseason. That's because the preseason is not really worth anything, right? Live. And they have versions for iPads and Android tablets. There are, and this is a way of getting you to download those NFL mobile apps. Let me see here. Certain restrictions apply. Availability of HD quality video is subject to device internet connection speed
and to the system requirements for streaming content at higher bit rates. Preseason Live is only available to users within the United States, Bermuda, Antigua, the Bahamas, or any U.S. territories, possessions, and commonwealths, including American Samoa. Certain blackout restrictions apply. Doesn't look like you have to have a cable subscription. That's the thing that bugs me about a lot of these. You know, HBO Go, for instance. You can watch HBO on your tablet, but you have to be paying for HBO on cable. DirecTV, if you're a DirecTV subscriber, I think DirecTV also has some limited access. Is it not free? Is this not, it says the app is free. NFL Sunday Ticket on the go. Every game every Sunday. Well, that's not Monday night or Thursday night, but I guess better than nothing. It's on the so now that one is not free. Looks like it's $300. And what do you get? Was this just DirecTV or is this on a tablet? Well, it looks like this is. This doesn't look. Oh, yeah. You can watch it on your phone or your tablet or your computer. 5 monthly payments of $59.99. You've got to be a fan. Let's admit it. But you can do it. The app is free, but on iTunes it says if you want to get the NFL's app, it requires a paid subscription to NFL Preseason Live. Look, none of this stuff is going to be free, right? And it looks like the DirecTV is for iOS or for Android. So there's a couple of ways you can watch the NFL. In fact, if you're a DirecTV subscriber, it looks like the best way, you'd get all the Sunday games anyway, is this NFL Sunday Ticket app, but not cheap. But, you know, I think ultimately the problem is right now is that the NFL and HBO and everybody else is kind of beholden to the cable companies and the satellite companies. That's how they reach you. And you only have to look to the dispute Viacom has had with Dish to realize that this is a tense relationship. And if the NFL were, for instance, to offer, you know, go directly to the customer, it might not even be allowed in their agreements with the networks and the cable companies. So we're in this transitional stage where, yeah, we have the means. We have the internet. We have fast internet connections. We have great devices like the iPad we can watch these things on. But the business relationships have not caught up to the technology. That's I think that's going to happen. NFL Sunday Tickets on PS3 for $80. Well, that's interesting. Huh. That's interesting. 8888 Ask Leo. So there are ways and ways. It's just a matter of time before these business relationships get out of the way and give people what they want, which is we want to watch our content whenever we want it, wherever we want it, on whatever device we want, and you figure it out. You guys fight it out and let us know when you figure it out. Morris in Santa Ana, California. Sorry about the break there. We had to take a break. You said you got your first Android phone upgrading from BlackBerry, and can I help you with it?
Yeah, I got the LG Optimus M Plus.
Okay.
With Metro PCS. That's what I got. Now.
Great.
I've been wanting to get into the root world, you know, get into my phone and see all the cool and crazy things I can do with the phone. But the thing I want most is I want to get the Wi-Fi hotspotting on my phone.
Yeah, hotspotting is great. It means that you turn your phone into a Wi-Fi access point. And Android can do it. It's not a question of Android, whether Android can do it. It's whether your carrier has allowed it.
Okay.
So, and you are on Verizon with this, or Virgin, or?
I said Metro PCS.
Metro PCS. So, yeah. First thing is, does Metro PCS allow it? Usually, companies will. Sometimes they'll charge you more. If you don't see hotspotting in your settings for Android, then the company, and you got the phone from the company?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, then the company has decided that they don't want to allow it. So, yes, then you root it, and by rooting it, you can install software that will do the hotspot, but you might be, in violation of your contract. Metro PCS might take that as an opportunity to discontinue service, things like that.
Okay.
But usually, just between us kids, you can get away with it.
I had my BlackBerry. I was able to do that with my BlackBerry. Right. I remember that.
Right. So, and it just depends on the carrier. Verizon now has this share everything plan, and hotspotting is included on that. In fact, they make a point in the ad of saying it because they realize people want that. They also ran Sprint and T-Mobile, because they are struggling, often will offer things that these other big companies won't, like hotspotting. That sure is nice, because if you have that, then, for instance, you decide to buy a tablet, you can just get a Wi-Fi tablet and use the phone as your internet connection.
I have a Wi-Fi tablet. I have a...
See? Perfect.
That's what I got.
Yeah, perfect.
The Iconia tab, that's what I have.
Yeah.
So
what you need now is an internet connection so that you can use it mobily. There is a program called FoxFi, F-O-X-F-I, that apparently does not require root.
Okay.
So you could go and look at that, FOXFI.com. I note that Sprint has removed it from the Play Store because Sprint doesn't, you know, people, these companies don't want you to do this, even though you're still paying for it, right? This is bandwidth. You're using bandwidth. The companies that really don't like it, like Sprint, are the ones with unlimited bandwidth because, you know, they're afraid you're going to start using it as your internet access. But you can do this, it looks like. FoxFi.com without rooting. Thanks to the chat room for that. See, these guys are good. You want to join us in the chat room, go to our website, techguylabs.com. That's where... all sorts of stuff. Show notes are, and all sorts of additional information. And there's a link there to the chat room. And you can join us in the chat room. It's always fun. Tix, T-I-X, in the chat room is the guy who suggested FoxFi to give credit where credit is due. It is handy to have that chat room, I'll tell you. They come up with great stuff. TechGuyLabs.com. That's where you'll find all that information. Sam in Garden Grove, California. You're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Leo.
How are you, sir?
Wow, it's great to talk to you.
Well, guess what? We're going to have to put you on hold again because we got to take a break for the bottom of the hour. But I'm going to go right to you next, Sam. So hang on there. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Here we go. We're getting excited. Petaluma. Okay, we're going to go back to dead air stream once again. All the news stations are reporting what we reported about half an hour ago, the passing of an American icon, a legend, a hero, an explorer, the first person to walk on the moon, Neil Armstrong, passed away at the age of 82 today. And, you know, I think we'll be hearing quite a bit. I can't look forward to the documentaries just to get us excited again about the exploration of our solar system. It is so important. 8888 Ask Leo. I also, I don't want you to tune out the show, but I'm excited because our own little league team, the Petaluma Nationals, we're up here in the Northern California small town called Petaluma, about an hour north of San Francisco. That's where the Tech Guy Labs live. It's where I've lived for the last almost 20 years, where my kids went to school, where my son played Little League on the Petaluma Nationals team, and they're in the World Series this year. In fact, today playing for the U.S. Championship against the team from Goodlettsville, Tennessee, and it's pretty darn exciting for everybody in Petaluma. They've got the streets blocked off. They've got balloons. It's just a celebration here. And I'm wearing it, though I know you can't see it, I'm wearing my Petaluma Nationals cap and my Petaluma Nationals T-shirt. And rooting the boys on. 8888 Ask Leo. Now, Sam called from Garden Grove. You've been patient, sat through the break. Thank you, sir. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what can I do for you?
Okay, I have a Dell laptop computer, the studio computer.
I have one of those, too, a Studio 16. A very nice computer.
Yeah, we love it. And we've been using it wirelessly with a router, and we have Time Warner. All of a sudden, two nights ago, the wireless wouldn't communicate anymore. It said no internet access. But it said connected.
Right.
So I called Time Warner and spent about an hour and a half on the phone with them, and they walked through all kinds of things, replacing drivers, and actually went into what we call DOS,
Let me just ask you one quick question. Did they tell you to restart the router and modem?
Yes, several times we did.
Yeah,
that.
That's the first thing you do. This is not unusual. Routers sometimes die. You're making a connection. That means that the computer wirelessly sees the Wi-Fi access spot. That's all that means. It doesn't mean you have internet access. It means merely that you're getting 5 bars or whatever, you're seeing it. But of course, it's meaningless to be connected if you don't get data, if you don't get internet access. When people talk about networks, they talk about layers, the 7 layers of networks. And the bottom layer is the physical layer, the actual connection. And that's what you've got. But what we've got to do is go through the remaining 6 layers all the way up to the operating system to see if you're getting connectivity. And that is a little bit of a task. It sounds like Time Warner went through all the stuff that you needed to do. They didn't fix it, though, huh?
No, they said that it must be a Windows problem or a computer problem. So I went to...
Well, that's not necessarily the case. I mean, that's just their decision. More likely it's the router. Did the router come from Time Warner, or is it a router you bought?
It's a Netgear, and actually we have another laptop that's wireless, and it receives a signal.
Is it working?
Yes, it's working.
Okay. So that's why Time Warner said, well, it's not the router, it's not our connectivity, because you do have a machine that's working on this system. So we know that there's internet coming through. It's just something wrong with your computer. Yeah. So that's right. They're making the right distinction.
And we actually hardwired from the modem and bypassed the router
into
the laptop, and that still didn't work.
Right. So Time Warner is very smart. They did all the right things, and that's what I would have done. So now you know it's exactly right that there's something wrong with that machine.
Okay, and then they said, well, you got to go to either Windows or you could go to Best Buy, the Geek Squad. And so I decided to do that, and I brought it in there, and they said it sounds like it's a software problem. And it would cost me $350 for them to take it and look at the software problem.
They're right, because the connection via hardwire is different than the connection via radio. And if neither one is working, then it means it's unlikely there's anything physically wrong with the machine. It's Windows. And frankly, it's one of two things. There, you have security software, which is blocking, or you have a virus, which is blocking. One or the other. Now, what kind of security software do you have on that machine? You have Norton?
McAfee.
You got McAfee. All right. The first thing I would do is disable McAfee, just to make sure that it's not doing something to get in the way. Because sometimes security software is overzealous and can cause a problem.
Oh, okay.
Are you keeping that up to date?
Yeah.
That's a good sign, because it means it's probably not a virus. McAfee would have blocked it. But I have to think that there's something wrong with the McAfee at this point.
Oh, okay.
So let's not spend the $300. Did you get the computer back, or do they still have it?
I have it. I didn't drop it off because I didn't bring the power cord, and they needed that, so I couldn't leave it in either case. But my concern was, you know, I said, well, what if it's not the software, if it's the card or something that needs to be replaced, is that covered? And they said, no, that would be extra.
Yeah, so if they charge $50 an hour, which is kind of typical for this kind of thing, they're saying it's going to take them 7 hours to fix this. That sounds a little pricey.
That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
It was a flat rate. I said, you can't take it in by the hour and work on it?
I would either go to someone else, and I'm sure if you look around Garden Grove, there's a small computer store where this is, you know, if I could come over, I could fix this in a heartbeat, I'm sure. It's something pretty simple. I'll tell you what I would do first. I would disable the security software. I'd either turn off, or if you can't figure out how to disable it, remove the McAfee.
Completely.
Yeah, well, just to see.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of McAfee, to be honest with you. So, yeah. But then there, unfortunately, it gets nerdy. There are things you can do in the command line. This is probably what Time Warner was doing. That they ask you to do things like ping.
Ping, yes. Yeah. Yes.
And did they say the ping worked? Do you remember?
I don't think so.
So what they're doing is they're going through the layers. So what ping does is say, can I see the router? Can I ping the router? And if I could ping the router, can I then ping an outside internet? And if they said it's not working, that sounds like either it is possible, by the way, for software to get munged up, you know, and you have on that computer something called a TCP stack. That's the software that connects to the internet. If that TCP stack got damaged, just software bits moved around, it would stop working and you'd get exactly this. So,
well, they did. We looked in somewhere, and I'm not even sure where, but there was something in there that was a TCP there was a 6 and a 4 something.
Yeah, that's not going to tell me much. Apparently, Dom in the chat room is saying that McAfee's last update broke all internet service providers. So I might be. This is it. I would get rid of that McAfee. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I mean, everything you're saying in the chat room is correct. There's a lot of stuff, but I'm not going
to. Here's a science fiction scenario. What if you could take care of everything?
Tell him all of those things. It's one of those things. This is really interesting. McAfee's latest update causes chaos.
No, it's actually not science fiction. It's
wow. Let me look at this.
Science fiction. Stamps.com is a 21st century post office right at your desk. 24/7.
This is dated August 21st. McAfee users had their internet access severed. This sounds right. And were left exposed to malware after the company issued an antivirus update containing glitches. What a piece of junk. What a piece of junk. Can you believe this? The update affected all Windows McAfee suites and virus scan products, including the latest versions of the Enterprise Virus Scan and McAfee Security Center.
$110 bonus offer includes a digital scale to weigh your letters and packages.
Oh, my gosh.
All you have to do is go to stamps.com, click the radio microphone.
Of course, they issued a fix, right? But you can't get it because you don't have internet access.
In IT, it's challenging enough when your team is working from the same office.
My goodness. Nowadays, everybody does. That's why you this is bad. Thank you, chat room, for this link. McAfee said it appreciated the seriousness of the situation, apologized for the inconvenience, and said that the development teams were working to get a solution ready as fast as possible. And they said, and by the way, if you haven't applied the latest updates, don't. Oh, whoops. And they've issued an update to fix it, but how do you get it with no internet access? Yeah, I think this is what happened. Wow. Okay, let me get that. That was a good link. Hold on a second. The quickest resolution steps that we have at this time, boot the computer into safe mode with networking, open McAfee, click on the updates, and then check for updates. You may need to dismiss the message about real-time scanning being off to see these options. Once McAfee is downloaded, DAT6809, restart the computer. Oh, my Lord. And Cameron C. says, I fixed about half a dozen computers yesterday at work that had this problem. Oh, never use McAfee. Semantic doesn't rule either, by the way. They're just bad. One get ESET. Holy cow. That is terrible. That is terrible. I was at the Giants-Braves game last night. It was a great game. Lots of fun. I kept doing the tomahawk chop. Oh, and my little dog, too. The link, I'll paste the link in. There we go. It's from SC Magazine. That is just appalling. Samsung Galaxy S3 is not affected because Apple, while they tried to make this case be about that, the judge said, look, you got to pick which handset. We can't do all the handsets. You have to pick the ones, and they decided not to include that. So the S3 is, in fact, not affected. Doesn't mean Apple won't come back to court and go after them. All right, Little League. Let's go. Petaluma.
Carbonite, your live read, Leo.
All the Braves fans are loving that. Of course, my Giants beat the Braves last night at AT&T Park when we were there. I did a few. Every time we scored, we had a very loud Braves fan sitting behind us. And they were winning 2-0 after the first couple of innings. And he was really going crazy. So as soon as we started winning, I started doing the tomahawk chop. I'm sure it drove him crazy. Every time we'd score, I'd go, ah. 8888, ask Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Wow, we have figured out what went wrong, Sam, with your computer. And it is McAfee. Holy cow. This is a major mess up. Articles in many of the technology magazines. I'm reading from SC Magazine, which is a secure computing magazine. McAfee's detected defective update causes user chaos. This is dated August 21st, 4 days ago. McAfee users, get this, Sam. McAfee users had their internet access severed and were left exposed to malware after the company issued an antivirus update containing glitches. Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say that's a glitch. McAfee said it appreciated the seriousness of the situation, apologized for the inconvenience, and said that the development teams were working to get a solution ready as fast as problem. Here's, if possible, here's the problem. They've got a fix, but you can't get it because you're offline. So here's what... Oh, man, what a mess up. One of the guys in the chat room said he was spending the last couple of days fixing computers at work that lost internet access because of this bad update. The update is McAfee Virus Signature Update DAT6807 or 6808. So McAfee has pushed a fix. Of course, if your internet is off, how are you going to get it? So here's what you have to do. We'll save you $350 right here. Thank you, by the way. The chat room, very smart. And by the way, get rid of McAfee now. Just get rid of it. That you don't give a company two chances to do this. So here's what McAfee's saying. Boot the computer into safe mode with networking. So what you do is you restart the computer. You hold down the shift key or tap F8 while it's starting up. And you'll get a menu, a startup menu, that gives you a number of options, including safe mode with networking. You want with networking. Once you've booted up, you can open the McAfee program. Click on the updates. Look for the updates. You may get a message saying real-time scanning's off. Yeah, good. Check for updates, and once McAfee has downloaded and installed the new update, apparently you'll still be able to use it in safe mode with networking. I don't know. I think if your internet's broken, it's broken, but maybe this will work. This is what McAfee's saying to do. Once you get the new update, 6809, restart, and you should be okay. But I don't know. If McAfee's blocking your internet access, will it work in safe mode? Maybe it will. I guess it will. So restart your machine in safe mode with networking. Launch McAfee, get the updates, and make sure you get the latest one. Apparently that fixes the problem. And then, my solution, uninstall McAfee and never use it again because it's junk. Many people have it only because it came with their computer, right? It was free. If you are a cheapskate and you really don't want to pay for an antivirus, just use the one Microsoft offers. It's called Windows Security Essentials. It's not perfect. It's not the best, but it's every bit as good as McAfee, and you're not going to have this problem, I can assure you. You can get it from Microsoft.com/Security Essentials. I personally, as you know, we have an advertiser that does an antivirus, ESET, and I've never had anything like this happen with ESET. It's very good stuff. Very effective. ESET.com. But get rid of McAfee. That's pretty obvious. By the way, owned by Intel now. So it's embarrassing for Intel, too. Incredible. So reboot into safe mode with networking. Get the latest update. That's supposed to fix it. And then if you'd paid the $350, I would have sent a bill to McAfee. Terrible. Robert in Las Vegas, you're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, I made a horrible mistake. I formatted my external hard drive with a lot of pictures and everything. So now I know that I can recover some of this. It was a quick format, but I don't know if...
Good news. A quick format doesn't erase anything.
Yeah.
But don't use that hard drive now, because the minute you use it, you might be overwriting stuff. Format does is say, hey, there's nothing on here. You can go ahead and use anything you want. But it doesn't actually, that's why it's quick, it doesn't actually erase anything. So yeah. You're probably all right.
Now, do you have any software? Because I went online, and there's a bunch of them.
It's really annoying. Most of it says, try our software. You try it, and then it says, now, if you want, I see all this data, but if you want it all, it's going to cost you $100. I hate that.
Yeah.
So, but there's good free stuff that basically all you need is an unerase. And there's a lot of good stuff that does not do that. In fact, it's really kind of, I think, it's a little unethical to do what they do, which is to say, hey, yeah, we can fix it for $100. We'll fix it for $100. So yeah. One program that is constantly recommended by my chat room is called Recuva. I like the name. Recuva. Recuva. And it's from Piriform. Piriform. They're the same folks that do CCleaner. And it's free. Now, there is a professional version that you might need for $25. It sounds to me like that this is kind of the same thing, which is in order to recover that data, you're going to need to spend the money. But $25 is worth it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a lot less than $100 or whatever some of these other people.
Yeah. So, and then I don't even know if they will work. I don't even know if they'll find all of the files. So,
well, probably will, because it probably will. But this is, you know, the good news is this is non-destructive. It won't hurt your thing to run it, and you won't accidentally delete anything, and it will probably recover everything that any other program can. What happens is, in a quick format or even in a file deletion, what happens is that the operating system doesn't actually overwrite the data. This data is still on the hard drive. It just changes the entry in the catalog to reflect the fact that this area is available if anybody wants it. They change the first letter of the file name. They used to do this. I presume they still do, to something that looks like an upside down E. The rest of the file name's intact, and all the data is intact. So these recovery programs actually go through the catalog and look for things with upside down E's and then replace them. If you've repartitioned the drive, it gets harder. If you use a secure delete, like overwriting the drive with ones and zeros, you're pretty much out of luck. And if you continue to use the drive after the format and then say, whoops, anything that you've overwritten is gone. But in most cases, you can recover it. And, you know, it'll just slowly go through all the data and see what it can find. Good luck. I hate that when that happens. And by the way, I should do a Carbonite ad, shouldn't I? Kyle?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Back up. You don't hear anything? Can you hear me now? Leo LaPorte, the tech guy. We're talking high-tech computers, the internet, cell phones, camcorders, MP3 players, home theater, whatever's on your mind. 8888 Ask Leo is the number. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S., outside the U.S. You can always Skype in. Use Skype out to Skype in. And you can reach us at 1-888-827-5536. A good friend in studio, David Bergman. He's a photographer, a sports photographer, and does something kind of interesting. You've seen perhaps his most famous photograph, which was of President Obama's inauguration a couple of years ago. It was a gigapan, and it was the first time I became aware of gigapans. David, good to see you.
Good to see you, Leo.
So, David, just got back from the Olympics, where you did some gigapans for both ABC and Sports Illustrated.
NBC.
NBC, yep, of course. NBC, ABC had nothing to do with it.
Exactly. Yeah, we had a nice arrangement where I was able to do them for both organizations. So,
oh, how fun.
And I did eight of them at opening ceremonies. I did women's beach volleyball. I did soccer.
So what is a gigapan?
So a gigapan, basically, you can already take two images, two overlapping images, and then stitch them together to make a bigger image. Well, a gigapan...
That's like a panorama.
Exactly,
we do that with a panorama.
Exactly.
Right?
But a gigapan, I take literally hundreds of images and stitch them together to make a gigapixel panoramic image.
You're using a special device to do
this? So Gigapan is a company that makes the hardware and the software, and they do a real good job making... They have different units for different size cameras. And, yeah, it basically assists in the process of moving the camera so that the overlap is the same every time. But you still have to sort of know what you're doing to make a good image.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things come to mind. First of all, what kind of camera are you using? In the first gigapans I saw, it was just a point-and-shoot. In fact, I think the inauguration, it was just a point-and-shoot camera.
Yeah, at that time, they only had the one unit that could hold a point-and-shoot camera. It was a very small unit. And to trigger the actual images, it literally has like a plastic finger that pushes down on the shutter.
It's that primitive,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, pretty primitive. But now they've got three different models, and the big one takes real cameras. I'm using, at the Olympics, I used a Nikon D4 and the D800.
Oh, these are good cameras.
Yeah,
so I've zoomed in. I'm looking in. And by the way, if you go to davidbergman.net, that's David's website, B-E-R-G-M-A-N, and you can see these images. I'm looking at the one you did for Sports Illustrated of the women's beach volleyball. I'm a big fan of that sport. And
it's fun to zoom in on women's
beach
volleyball.
Well, what's interesting is that if I zoom all the way out, it looks like a kind of a panorama of the entire arena. So you can see the game in the middle, but you can also see all the audience. And you can even see the London Eye in the distance.
You can actually
in
see
Big
people
Ben.
In the London Eye. If you go in, you can see the
but
people.
But that's what's amazing is you can then zoom in and zoom in and zoom in and zoom in even more. And if so, the London Eye, which looks quite distant in the full image, you can actually see the people in the little in that Ferris wheel watching the game.
Yeah, this one was fun, particularly because I think it makes a good image as it's on its own. You know, it's a good photograph because
it
the venue was
picture.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It was, you know, middle of the day, and it was just gorgeous light. So, you know, just standing up there and taking a picture would be good. But then, obviously, once you can zoom in, and I also, it's a composite image made up of hundreds of photos. So,
how many photos in this one?
This one, I think, was only about 200 because I used the D800s, which is a 36 megapixel camera.
So you have a lot of resolution.
Yeah. So in daylight, I can get away with the D800. For lower light stuff, I'm using the D4. I did one at the soccer game, the women's U.S. women's soccer gold medal game, and I took... I can't remember the number, 400 or 500 images. I think it was 500 and something images.
Holy cow.
And it's 4 gigapixels.
Now, I got a couple of questions. First of all, when I take a panoramic shot, the people in the panorama get all messed up because they move.
Right.
Now, you've got a picture here of these players playing volleyball. They're obviously moving, and yet it doesn't look like it. In fact, you've got somebody in midair. How do you do that?
So, you know, I'm a sports photographer, right?
Yeah.
So this is what I do. So the whole point, you know, I try to make them a little bit better than what, no offense, what you would do if you were out there, because I'm trying to make
well,
a good...
Well, this is your job, and it's Sports Illustrated, exactly. And they don't like blurry photos.
Exactly.
So, but I mean, but
so
seriously,
it is a composite.
How is it?
Okay, right. So I'll give away the secret here. So this is a composite image already. There are hundreds of photos taken over the course of anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes. So this actually was not necessarily shot at the exact moment as I went past there.
So, but you're picking one particular image,
yes.
Then.
So I work hard to try to make it as seamless as possible. But yes, in some cases.
And you do that in Photoshop or?
Yeah. So Gigapen makes the software to do the initial stitch, and I let it do that first. But then I save that out as a single file, and I open it in Photoshop on my laptop on the road in a hotel room, and it takes
quite a
while.
It can't be very fast because this must be a gigantic
file. It's
giant.
The one that I did at the soccer game is the biggest one I've ever done. It was 4,000 megapixels, which is 4 gigapixels. And it was, the file is over 12 gigabytes. Just the single image file.
Wow.
So opening it takes about 20 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. So you basically hit open and then you walk away and come back later.
You have pictures from the Super Bowl. You have pictures from the opening and closing ceremonies. Is the soccer image on davidbergman.net? Can I find it?
If you go to nbcolympics.com/gigapans, you'll see all 8 that I did. I don't think I put the soccer one on my website yet because I've been a little busy since I got back.
Well, I'm so glad that you stopped by to
yeah,
show this.
I'm in town, actually, so I work for Bon Jovi also, if you remember.
And yeah, you're having an event, aren't you?
There's a fan club event here, so I'm coming out. I'm speaking at the event in a couple days at the Hard Rock, and then there's a show. John's coming in to do a show and for the fans, so that's why I'm in town, and I had to come see my old pal Leo.
So I am thrilled, and now people can buy these Gigapan devices. They're not even that expensive.
They're not expensive, yeah. And again, the company's really great, and they, like I said, it's pretty easy to make a simple panoramic image with these, and they're very high res and they're very good. You know, getting into making good sports photos and having them a little more seamless is trickier, and it takes more time.
But practice, fast computer, and patience, because it probably takes
lots
an
of
hour
patience.
To load these images.
Absolutely,
you can do a pretty good job.
So soccer's tough because obviously
there's a lot of people.
There's
on the
a lot
field.
Of people, and I don't want to have people duplicated.
Right. This looks like they're setting up for a penalty.
Exactly.
Kick.
So I have to find a part of the game where they're not moving around a whole lot.
Got
know?
It.
So that, because if they're running
otherwise,
the
you'd
field,
have a player at both, the same player at both ends of the field.
Exactly.
That'd be kind of
exactly.
embarrassing.
So that's kind of the trick to make it look like a real photo.
Really neat. And if you just have a point and shoot, Gigapan does offer fairly inexpensive devices.
They do. There's 3 different models. I think it's a couple, few hundred bucks up to maybe $1,000.
It's kind of a neat, neat. Now, do you have a deal with Gigapan or?
Yeah, they like me quite a bit.
I bet they do. You're kind of like the number one Gigapan guy.
I'm the Gigaman.
I think one of our employees has a Gigapan. We were doing Gigapans of the brick wall out in the lobby.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, but, it's cool because you can zoom in on every little
detail. It's something that's kind of affordable for almost anybody.
Absolutely.
It's the skill that somebody like David Bergman brings to it.
You know, it was initially developed by a bunch of NASA scientists for the Mars rover program.
See, there you go.
So, and then the imaging technology, and then they made it into a consumer product, and yeah, they've done a great job with it.
We were just talking, of course, you may not know, Neil Armstrong just passed
away. I heard,
away.
I was listening on the way in.
And one of the things we talked about is how NASA and the work that they did in the 60s to put a man on the moon benefited us all. Much of the computer technology we use today came from NASA, and this is another example.
Absolutely.
Yeah. David, it's great to see you.
Great to see you.
Congratulations on your success. Must have been fun to be at the Olympics, even though I'm sure you were working like a dog.
Yeah, you know, the only problem with doing the post-processing overnight is you don't get a whole lot of sleep.
Yeah, but what fun. What was your favorite Olympic moment?
Favorite Olympic moment? You know, I had a good opportunity during the day. I was also sort of double dipping. I was working with my good friend Neil Leifer, who you may know.
Oh, I know Neil, yeah.
Sports photographer.
Yeah, one of the best.
Yeah, I got to help him. He was working for the Today Show, and I got to help him do portraits of all of the athletes who came on the Today Show, the medal winners.
Oh, what fun.
So we had in our studio, we had everybody from Phelps and, you know, Natalie Coughlin and Missy Franklin and all the gymnasts and the soccer players.
That must have been pretty cool.
They all came through. So that was kind of nice to meet everybody and, you know, hold those medals. I got to hold a lot of gold medals.
How neat.
I may or may not have taken a picture with a medal.
He's a gold medal winning photographer, davidbergman.net. And I love this picture from the opening ceremonies with Glastonbury Tour and all the athletes on the field. That's a great one. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Back to the phones we go right after this. Boy, these are this one I love because you can zoom on in any, you know, any nation.
Yeah, the queen is in there.
Is the queen in here?
So all the way to the left. See the lit part?
Yeah, there's the queen, huh? Let's zoom in on the queen, baby.
It's challenging enough when your team.
Oh, there she is. Yeah,
same office, even more.
Pink lady.
You have to support members.
There's a lot of people
remotely.
Pinning her
nowadays. Everybody does. That's why.
Yeah, people tag themselves on the queen.
Citrix.
Yeah.
You could take control
it's
of your.
Pretty funny. They say, "Hey, I'm the queen." It seems like a lot of Vietnamese people love the queen.
And yeah, right behind her, you can see Harry and William are there, and Kate up a little bit. up to the right, top right. Nope. Move over. There you go.
There. Wow. Yep. Yeah, there they are. This is cool.
Yeah, I had to make sure in the stitch that I didn't cut off the queen's head. That would be very bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
She does have that. And Harry's not. We are not amused.
Harry is wearing clothes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That is amazing. You know, this the technology has really come a long way because I can now browse around in this much faster than the original one.
That is part of it. I mean, the images are actually hosted on the GigaPants servers.
Ah.
So
they're doing some sort of
I think it's all at Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh.
Oh, man, the technology.
And they do a really good job with it. The inauguration photo, I've now met all the engineers, and I've heard their horror stories about when that thing was coming.
Oh, can you imagine the hits they got?
They were freaking around with the data, trying to make sure. And it didn't go down. My site
went
down. But the actual image did not go down once. And, they said if there was another big GigaPen that had come in at the same time, the whole thing would have gone down.
would have killed us.
Because they routed all the data through to to that one image.
Well, let's bring David's site down. I don't
know. Yeah, I was going to say, is it still up?
Probably not. DavidBergman.net. But NBC survived the onslaught.
Yeah.
They managed to do all right. Really neat. It's great to see you. I'm so glad you could come by. Yeah, stick around. Sure. The Bon Jovi. Kyle Benham, right on top of that one. Where is the Bon Jovi fan club meetup, David? What is it? Is it in the area? It's a secret location. You have to be like in the club. Wow. Well, we can't announce it on the radio then. Bon Jovani. My favorite band. David is, among other things, takes lots of different kinds of pictures, but also does concert photography and has become very known, well known for pictures of Bon Jovi, which is a strange thing to become well known for. But hey, were you a fan before you became? Yeah, of course. That's why. Elizabeth in Orange County, you're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Elizabeth.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. It's my birthday weekend, so it's exciting to talk to you.
Happy birthday. Congratulations.
Thank you. My question is, I'm going into nursing school, and I need some form of a laptop, iPad, tablet, something, and I don't really know which direction to go. There's so many people with different opinions, and
yeah.
Mac or PC.
First of all, congratulations. Really, that's exciting.
Yes.
I guess the first thing I'd suggest is talking to the school and students at the school there about what they recommend. Sometimes there's specific software you need to use. It might be Windows or Mac specific, in which case you'd want to make sure you had a compatible machine. But I'm guessing there isn't. Is there any software that you need to use, for your school?
Occasionally, with your books, you might get a disk that you can put into a computer, but it seems like some of the nursing schools are requiring the students to have even smartphones because they want them to buy specific applications.
Oh, apps. Yeah.
So,
well, the first thing to do is talk to your school and see if they have a list or a recommendation for hardware.
Right.
And anything they say is going to trump what I'm about to say. Because obviously, they may say, well, no, you have to have, this particular hardware because this is the model you've got to, you've got to support.
Right.
Or the application you've got to support. In general, though, here's what I would say is important. Obviously, portability. Are you going to take these devices to class with you?
Yes, I'll probably take it everywhere with me.
Take it everywhere. The problem, I like tablets for portability. Obviously, an iPad is a great portable device. It couldn't be lighter or thinner. I mean, it's just great. But it's not great for content creation because it doesn't have a keyboard. Now, you could, of course, get a keyboard. But it's not really intended for writing papers and things like that. And I presume that you will be doing – will you be writing papers?
I'm assuming I will, yeah. And I've heard that Windows is coming out with some sort of tablet that will have a keyboard.
Yeah, that'll be too late for you. That won't be till October.
Okay.
Microsoft has something called the Surface, and there will be some Windows RT tablets, but those don't come out till October 26th.
Okay.
So we need to get something before then, I think, right?
Yes, depending on which school I choose. So there's
You haven't chosen the school yet.
I've got into one in October that starts in October, but I'm waiting to hear back from another one that starts later. I'm praying that I'll get into the other one that doesn't start in October.
What's the school you want to get into?
I may or may not have time to wait till October. I don't know yet.
I think a laptop is the best choice if you're going to do some, you know, real work on it. And I would get either, a MacBook Air, because it's very lightweight, or a Windows Ultrabook, which are basically clones of the MacBook Air. They're thin and light. They're very fast. They can be extremely powerful as anything out there. The only negative is you said you sometimes need to load a CD or a DVD. They don't usually have optical drives. But you can, in every case, you can get for $100, you can get an external optical drive that'll allow you to do that. That's nice because you don't have to carry it around unless you need it.
True.
So I'm a big fan of the Ultrabooks. The Asus ZenBook is a great Windows Ultrabook. It's one I'm using right now. And the MacBook Air is a great Macintosh version. Tablets are nice, but I think they're more a convenience for, they're more a second computer than a first computer. This will be your only computer, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that I might be a little bit partial to PC, but I've always...
Good. That'll save you money because the Macs are about 50% more expensive for the same hardware.
Right, yeah. Every time I look on there, and most people are telling me you don't need Mac unless you're someone who's doing a lot of photo and video editing, and but then other people...
You know, it's what you're partial to. That's really all it is. I am partial to Macs for a number of reasons, but it's really what you're more comfortable with, what you like. Because they'll both do exactly the same thing. There's nothing you can do on a Mac that you can't do on Windows and vice versa.
Okay, good.
Well, actually, there's one exception. A lot of games are Windows only. But I don't think you're going to have time for games for the next 2 years.
Probably not.
you're going to be working hard.
New toy when I'm done.
Yeah. Samsung makes some nice ones. Chat room saying the Series 9, which I agree is a very nice, very thin and light. If you want a desktop replacement, there are good choices in that category. There are laptops that have, are you going to be living in away or are you going to be at home?
It depends on which school that you choose.
Right.
Yeah.
So for students who are living in a dorm or, you know, you're moving into an apartment, and this is going to be more than just your computer. It's going to be your everything, your home entertainment center and all of that stuff. That's a little different. Then you might want something that's a little heavy-dutier, you know, that is a desktop, what they call a desktop replacement. In other words, it has better speakers, a bigger screen, a higher resolution screen, that kind of thing. For that, I would recommend Lenovo has a very nice... kind of desktop replacement, the IdeaPad, I think is a very good choice. There's a lot of... So that's... See, you see, I'm asking you questions and not giving you answers. Yeah. I'm a bad man.
I might be partial to something portable.
I like... I'll tell you, but the computers I like the best nowadays are ultra-thin, ultra-lights. So I'd highly recommend them.
Okay, so Samsung...
The Samsung 9 is
Samsung
excellent.
Samsung 9.
Beautiful. I really like what Asus is doing, A-S-U-S.
Asus, okay, yeah.
I'm not crazy about the Lenovo ultralights as much. But any Ultrabook, the Ultrabooks are basically the same. They're Intel gave a specification. Everybody's kind of duplicating it. Unless you need a lot of processing power, I would say get an i5, not an i7. The i7 is for heavy-duty processing. I would get a... 4 gigs of RAM. You don't need more. They'll come with solid-state drives, which is nice. They're very fast, but you might want to get an external drive both for backup and for more storage.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations. Happy birthday and good luck.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Elizabeth. That's exciting. It's fun, isn't it? You're going away to school. Oh, I should have mentioned get Carbonite on there, too. When my daughter went to college 2 years ago, of course, she brought a laptop. Having a good backup solution, it doesn't have to be Carbonite, but something like Carbonite that's always backing up, really great, because these get lost, they get stolen, hard drives crash. And I would also get a little Kensington lock. It's not going to It's not foolproof, but it helps deter theft. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, and Earl is on the line from Lakeside, California. Hi, Earl. Leo Laporte here.
Yeah, I've got a Mac, and I use Gmail, and I've got a problem. If I can make attachments and forward them to people, but if somebody forwards me an email and I try to forward it to you, the attachment will not come through.
Right. And that's normal. That's normal.
Well, what I mean is the picture is not maybe
the reason they do that, and all email packages now are starting to do that, is because attachments are dangerous.
Well, what I mean is it's a picture that's embedded in the email.
No, it's not. It just looks like it is. It's actually an attachment. The email program is rendering the attachment. In other words, it sees an attached picture. It says, all right, well, I'll do that in what they call in line. I'll show you what it looks like. But that's just something that the software, the web browser, well, not even that, that Gmail is doing.
Okay.
So what's the problem is merely that the attachment's not, it's not continuing, it's not keeping the attachment.
Right.
When you forward it. Let me see. I wonder if there is a way to turn that on. Let me see here.
You know, I've gone in to sign up and everything, and every time I get somewhere, it says go to the upper right corner and click on the gear.
Yeah, that's where settings are.
There is no gear.
On Gmail.
Right.
There's a gear on my Gmail. I don't know where the... So it should be, on the upper right-hand corner, I see my name, I see a picture of me, I see a share button, and right under that, there's this little gear, and it says settings if you hover your mouse over it. You don't have that, huh?
Well, in the upper right, it has my Gmail address, standard view, account, settings, help, and sign out.
Uh-huh.
If I click on settings...
No, that's different. You're looking at your Google settings.
Yeah,
what you want is your Gmail settings. That's in the gear button. That's a little confusing, I understand.
Yeah, well, there's...
But I don't know if did they say you could change that?
I don't
know if you could change that behavior. I think so somebody sends you a email with a picture. You're on, is this a joke list that you're doing?
Well, some of them are jokes, yeah.
And you want to forward the thing as is to a bunch of other people.
Yeah. And if I forward it, they get all the text.
But they don't get the images.
I can drag a image off to my desktop and then drag it into the...
Right. Reattach it.
Reattach it.
Yeah.
But if, you know, some of them have...
That's a pain. I understand you don't want to do it. You want to be able to forward that image just as it was forwarded to you, that whole thread, just as it was forwarded to you.
I just thought, what is there any way I can copy the entire email if I was to, Apple A, copy it all, save it to the desktop.
You shouldn't have to. It should. I'm just trying to figure out where in here you're using the standard Gmail interface. Actually, you're using an HTML interface. Are you looking at the original email and then pressing the forward button?
Yes.
And it's not preserving all the contents of the email.
Right.
And you're able to see those images, right? When I look at my Gmail and there's something with an image in it, it initially says images are not displayed. Display images below.
always display images. So I can say display images below. So I'm going to do that. And now the image is in line, just as you say. It's in the email, right? And then you press the button that says forward.
Right.
And let me just, I'm going to try it. Because, so I'm going to go over here to forward. And it preserves the images in mine. That's interesting. See, I see the image in mine. So I'm not sure exactly what settings you've changed.
Well, somebody told me that they think I probably checked the box.
Right. That's what I'm thinking, but of course you can't see the gear. So click standard where you said you saw standard
view.
Click that. The gear should appear. You might have a compact view.
Yes, now I got the gear.
Yeah, and then I'm not sure what it is, but you'll see under the gear there's settings.
Right.
And I'm not sure. There's a forwarding section. It might be somewhere in there. I'm going to have you keep listening. I don't want to take too much time messing around because I'm not sure how to do it. A couple of things you might want to try. A different browser. Make sure you're not forwarding as plain text. You should be forwarding as email. That way they'll be attached in line, which is what you want. I'm looking through the settings in here and just to see if I can see it. And I'll keep doing that. I'll tell you what, keep listening, girl, because we'll solve this before we're over. We're over in 20 minutes, and I'll figure it out. Chat room's working on it right now. One thing that they do suggest, and I would agree, is that you should be composing your emails in RTF or HTML, not plain text. I'm not sure where that setting is, but I'm going to find that as well. Somewhere probably in the, outgoing message encoding. No, somewhere in here. I don't want to spend a lot of time working on this. We will find it. Keep listening, Earl. Chat room, you have an assignment. Tim is in Nashville. Tim, are you watching the Little League World Series?
Yes, sir, Leo.
Your boys are beating up on my boys.
Friendly wager, but Tennessee's already winning 4-1.
Yeah, so you're not getting a bet out of me. We got three more innings. It ain't over until it's over.
Okay, how about a copy of ESET for me, and what do you want?
I don't think I'm going to bet at this point. It's 4-1, Tennessee.
Yeah,
how do you pronounce that? Is it Goodlettsville?
Goodlettsville.
Goodlettsville. Okay.
Oh yeah, Goodlettsville.
And it's a suburb of Nashville.
Yeah, it's just north of Nashville, and I'm actually just south of Nashville. But okay. It's all the buzz in here.
Oh, I bet it is. And you might imagine Petaluma's pretty excited too, with the Little League World Series is going on, and Goodlettsville, Tennessee is playing my guys from Petaluma, California. Oh, Goodlettsville just got another run. Oh man, it's good I didn't make that wager with you.
They're not in California now as they were earlier, I bet.
Well, they beat it. You guys beat us once before, you know.
Did they? I didn't know.
Yeah. We put this in the tournament. So, oh man, that's all right. It's not over. It's not over till it's over.
Not over till the fat lady.
That's right. What can I do for you?
Last Saturday, I got me a Galaxy S3.
How do you like it?
Well, so far, so good. I'm just learning it because I made the switch from an iPod Touch.
All right. Well, hang on because I got to take a break. But when we come back, I'll talk to you. Also, Dick D. Bartolo, the Gizwiz. He's coming up. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Oh. 5-1. And first and third. No outs. Doesn't look good.
When we built the new tech
time
labs,
for the rally cap yet,
we
though.
We
still got
in
three
in the cloud.
Innings.
We store documents there. We hold meetings there.
All right, let me get Dick B.D. Bartel. So, you guys have any suggestions? I'm looking at my Gmail settings here. You think it's redirect? I don't know. Oh, instead of a forward? I don't know. Let's see. Let's go to the Gmail here, and I have this email has a picture in it. Always display images. All right. And then I can choose from reply, reply to all, forward, filter messages like this. No, 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 no redirect. It's only only forward. But when I do a forward, I get it. I get the whole thing. So, yeah, Google trusts me, not this guy, not Earl. So I think it has to be something. At least we helped him find his gear. Let me see here. He didn't have a gear. Always display external content sent by trusted senders. Okay, but that's not the issue. Conversation view, stars, desktop notifications, button labels. Yeah, I don't want to really help him, but I have to. I don't want to. Don't forward that crap to me, buddy. I don't want your jokes. Snippets. All right, it's not there. Labels, it won't be. Inbox. Filtered mail, accounts and import. Anyone? Oh, here's a Alan R. sent me a Google link, support.google. Forwarding or sharing inline images. Okay. To forward a message, you need to have rich text formatting enabled. That's why. There we go, Earl. Oh, another one. Home run. Oh, no. Now it's like 7-1. Oh, the mercy rule is going to get in 8-1. Uh-oh. 10, if there's 10 runs. So that's good. That link is a good link. We're gonna send that, put that in the show notes, and I will mention that. That's a good link. Oh. The new one? Thank you.
Leah, we're not obviously back, but NextGen just locked up on me, so I just threw.
Okay.
This on.
You scared me.
I'll give you. We got 1 minute.
How did we get back so fast?
Good thing it was in a local, but yeah, my whole computer just crashed, so I got to figure this out.
I think you need to call Premier and say, hey, Leo makes money. Get him some equipment. Oh, look, she's from Petaluma. She's rubbing her temples. It's okay, lady. It's going to be okay. Somebody's going to lose. As long as you love me, I'll be a platinum, I'll be a silver, I'll be a gold. Sorry, let's just get out of this. We can come back. We've done it before, kids. Hey, Dickie D.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm super fine.
Super fine.
And a married man.
And a married Mr. Dick D. Bartolo, married man.
Okay, 5 seconds.
So is Dennis taking your name?
No.
No.
He's taking everything else, but he's leaving me. Extra!
Extra! And hopefully that cue fired, so we should be back. Hey, nobody's. All right, Leo, you're on.
Whoa!
Whoa! Married. Yeah! Getting married. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Somebody's getting married. A little song for Dick D. Bartolo, who just got married on Thursday. Congratulations, Dickie D.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. Hey, before we get to you, I have a couple of things to do. First of all, our chat room has come through for Earl. Remember, Earl was using Gmail, and he was puzzled no end because Gmail was not forwarding images in his emails. And so we found a page on Google, actually the chat room did, thank you, chat room, about forwarding a message with an inline image. That's what he wants. In order for this to work, you can't be in HTML view. You have to have rich text formatting enabled. With rich text formatting, when you click forward, the images will just show up. So you've got to, in the compose mail, see, we were going to settings, it's not there. When you compose the mail in your Gmail, click rich formatting above the blank text field of the message. Then discard that blank message, and now it's on. What? Okay, do you get what? Are you kidding me? So you compose a message. This is just a dummy message. And if you see rich
text enabled, or I'm sorry, if you see rich formatting, the words rich formatting above the blank text field, click it. See, I see plain text because I'm in rich text. That's why it worked for me. So obviously you're in rich text, Earl. I mean plain text. So you should see above your blank email the words rich formatting. Click that. Then you'll see all sorts of extra stuff. If you click plain text, then it's not going to forward anything along. So somebody turned on plain text for you. Turn rich formatting on. Then you can close that. It'll stay in that mode forever and ever, and everything will format just fine. Whew. And then before we go to Dick, sorry, Dick, we were talking to Tim in Nashville about his brand new Galaxy S3. And you like it, huh?
I like it so far. I heard you mention I could use Double Twist to get my podcasts over.
That's one way. Yeah, there are other ways. If you want podcasts, there's also a podcaster that I like called Dog Catcher.
Dog Catcher?
Yeah, that's a really good one for Android. That's that lets you over-the-air subscribe in the phone.
Okay.
And that way you don't have to hook it up or anything. But Double Twist will copy stuff over from your desktop, yes.
To my desktop, and then I can copy
pictures link.
Podcast from the Apple over to the Android.
Yeah, because Double Twist sees iTunes, the iTunes collection, and then it should see the podcasts, and then you can sync those automatically. And you can even do it over the air. Double Twist has something called Air Twist that will do it over the Wi-Fi.
Okay, great. Now, they said there's a problem here in the Nashville area with this new phone with the 4G. Samsung is working on it, and it keeps dropping calls. It's just
that's frustrating.
In the area I'm in, and they said there was an app available that could fix this, but they said we got to be really careful. You'll mess up your phone. So I don't want to do it unless you know anything some about it and can tell me.
I don't know what the issue is. It sounds like. I don't know what the issue is. I don't know why it's Samsung's problem. It sounds like it really should be AT&T. It's an AT&T or Verizon?
No, Verizon.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a Verizon problem, not a Samsung problem. Something about Verizon's LTE implementation is not working right.
They said there was a guy here from Samsung for 2 weeks working on it from Korea, and they said they had an app that would fix it, but I don't know. Maybe your chat room has heard something about it, or... Maybe you have. Something.
I have not, Tim. And I don't have that problem, but maybe somebody else does.
Well, I appreciate it, but it looks like they're getting close to the mercy rule. I want you to know.
Oh, I know. If they get 10 runs ahead, it's all over, huh?
Yeah, it's all over.
Don't rub it in, Tim. I'm wearing my Petaluma Nationals hat. I'm wearing my Petaluma Nationals T-shirt. You're going to make me cry.
Okay, thanks, Leo.
Thanks, Tim. Take care. Good luck to Goodlettsville. Just don't win. On the line with us right now, Dick DiBartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer, the Gizwiz, and newlywed. Of course,
yes, sir.
Now, are you on the right mic? Because you sound like you're not. You're on some other mic.
I should be on my regular mic.
You're not. You're on a laptop mic. So,
oh my God!
I'll let you work on that while I do a commercial.
Okay,
How about that? And then once you figure it out, we'll be back. All right, Dick, do you have the right mic now?
I did.
You
is
do.
Better?
It's all better.
Okay, thank you.
Dick DiBartolo writes for Mad Magazine. In fact, he's called Mad's maddest writer. He's also our gadget guru, our Giz Whiz, if you will. And last time on the Giz Whiz show, we tried those orbit wheel skates. I wasn't able to get them to work, but I did wear a sumo suit. And that protected me from the inevitable fall.
And you look great in it. I think it's the new look.
it's what all the kids are wearing.
Yes, exactly.
So what do you have for us this week? Do I have to put my sumo suit on?
I have a really quickie thing, and it's perfect for radio because I refuse to show it. It was sent to us by Becky, so I took it to California and I gave it to you.
Oh, I have it.
And yes, you showed it on the Giz Whiz, so I don't have to show it. Because it's radio, but I'm bringing it up because, like, in 2 weeks, it's back to school.
Yeah.
And if you're tired of kids stealing your sandwiches, or if you work in an office and you're tired of office workers, and I didn't know that this went on a lot. Even people at Time Warner tell me they go to their refrigerator and their sandwich is gone.
Somebody keeps stealing my salad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Your salad. Yeah. I don't think this could work for salads, I guess. Anyway, it's from a company called Fred Studios. They make kind of wacky things, and they're called Lunch Bug.
Oh, yeah. We have been using those. I have them spread out all over our lunchroom. They're so funny.
Oh, they are disgusting. So they are a photo of an ugly bug.
A cockroach. Printed.
Oh, yes, printed on the clear plastic. So when you put your sandwich in there, it looks like the bug is on your sandwich.
Yeah, nobody's going to steal your sandwich, let me tell you that right now.
I would not worry that someone's going to take that, unless they're watching this show, in which case they say, oh, so that's why I can eat those sandwiches.
It's so realistic. It's very highly realistic.
Yeah, I think they got real bugs and...
pictures of real bugs, but it's completely sanitary.
Exactly. And they're cheap. You get 24 bags, sandwich size, for under $6.
No one will ever steal your lunch again.
No, I'm putting my wedding cake in it just because I don't want to share the last two pieces.
Hey, congratulations. You went down to City Hall on Thursday. You tied the knot. You got married. And you jumped over the broom, tied the knot, and you got married and crushed the glass. Did Fairway, was he the ring bearer, your dog?
No, they wouldn't allow Fairway in City Hall. But the editor of Mad Magazine stood up for us. So that's nice.
John Ficarra.
John Ficarra. Yeah. Boy, you have like an unbelievable memory.
I'm looking at the notes right here. And then did you put a video up on YouTube? Oh, here's our bug bags. Look at that.
Yes. Yeah. For the people who stay tuned for the Giz Fizz, I'm going to run the entire, even though it's long,
video.
The entire 1 minute and 47 second ceremony.
You know, it's so funny because every bride now has a video of the wedding, and it's probably one of those things you watch once in a while, but. Yours is short enough. You might watch.
Is it on YouTube? I watched it twice just to make sure. Yes, yeah, on YouTube.
Don't blink, you'll miss
it. To make sure I was really married.
Dick,
what did she say?
Congratulations. Hey, we are out of time. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, and congratulations to Dick DiBartolo. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Go Petaluma. It's not over yet. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.